This is the Reading Envy Podcast, where we'll have what you're reading. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the festive back corner of the Reading Envy Pub.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Jenny.
Can I sit here?
Yes, please do.
I brought some hot chocolate.
Fantastic. I have a London Fog with me.
Excellent.
Or did you bring me hot chocolate? Here, well, have this London Fog. Wow, this is the end of a year.
It is.
Wow. And our
very first year of this podcast.
That's right. We started off doing once a month, bumped it up to twice a month. Mm-hmm. I have been running behind like a cartoon character trying to keep up with you, which has been really fun. I really enjoyed it.
But we found a good way.
I think so, too. So the purpose of this podcast is we're just going to talk about 2014. Our favorites and the favorites of a bunch of other people, like people who make big lists.
Everyone on the internet.
Everybody on the internet, right.
Because we love lists. I even found a list of lists.
A list of lists.
It was
pretty
awesome.
Fantastic. That's fantastic.
So I added that to my list, which makes it a list of lists.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it's lists all the way down. Well, cool. Oh,
actually, first we wanted to invite you to be a part of episode 19, which is the one after this.
Right.
Because we still have another episode left in the year, and I'm actually going on vacation, and when I come back, I'm going to edit together everyone's submissions for an end of year episode where everyone can talk about their favorite book of the year.
Yeah.
And then we can all feel envious about it and add it to our reading list too.
Fantastic. Yeah. So how do they enter? They record something less than 5 minutes, you said?
Less than 5 minutes.
On an MP3 file.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is submission information on our blog, which is just readingenvy.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entry from earlier this month. I'm sure you can find it. And I just need it by the 26th of December.
Fantastic.
So you have some time.
Cool. And thanks to everybody who's submitted something so far. I'm excited to hear the end results.
Yes. We have quite a range so far of interesting people. And you don't have to have been on the podcast. You don't even necessarily need to know us. Mm-hmm. We will take it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing from people. That'll be great. Well, cool. Well, let's start by our own personal favorites.
Yeah, please do.
How about you? Do you have a single favorite book or how did you come up with your favorite?
Oh, I don't even know if I could ever pick one. I've read 228 books so far this year.
Holy cow.
So what I did is I made a list of all the books I gave 5 stars to because I thought I saved 5 stars to the very best books. But this year I gave a lot more books 5 stars than I usually do. Most of my books tend to circle around like 3 or 4. I'm not sure why this year is different. Maybe I picked better books. Maybe I had less patience for books I wasn't liking. But I just have a lot of books on this list. So I grouped them into categories, and I thought maybe I would just mention a few in each category, maybe.
Well, that's great. I did the same thing.
Okay, good.
Grouped into categories. I did not do the same thing in reading 228 books.
That's okay.
I read 40-something.
That's a very decent number.
Which is a very good number for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If I hit 50, I'm having a great year.
I don't read a lot to make other people feel bad about themselves.
I'm feeling very inadequate.
I just read because I like to read.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
What have you got? Yeah.
I'm going to start with literary fiction because that was just my first category.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has the most books. And man, so much good stuff in this one. The Bone Clocks, The Blazing World, Orfeo. All of those were from the Booker list, I guess. Mm. And of course, the David Mitchell, he wrote The Bone Clocks. I've been looking forward to that for a long time.
That's right. You are a David Mitchell fan.
I'm a huge fan. And I also became a fan of Richard Powers this year, who wrote Orfeo and I had never read before. I think if I had to pick one book that was kind of like the highlight that I wasn't expecting to like, it would probably be that one.
Orfeo. Wow.
Yeah. Orfeo. I think I talked about it on one of the previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more book in this category I wanted to mention because it's actually quite old, I think, like from the 1980s. And I know I talked about it on the podcast, but Geek Love. I just really enjoyed reading that and then talking about it with the book club I was in that where we talked about it. So, but man, there's just a lot of good books on that list. So, and then I grouped the speculative fiction titles together.
That's cool. So most of those books are from this year, published this year.
Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Either 2013 or 2014. There's a few, like The Pinchon is really old.
The Crying of Lot 49, which I also read.
And did not give it 5 stars.
I didn't give it 5 stars, but it was a good experience.
Yeah, I very quietly gave it 5 stars. Yeah, and one of the books that is still on my 5-star list for this year is a book that was like a second read for me, The Constellation of Vital Phenomena. So, yeah, great books.
Oh, nice.
So then I have speculative, and that's where I grouped everything, science fiction, fantasy, horror, dystopia, weird, just anything that, you know, fits in those.
Are you telling me you read some dystopian fiction?
Oh, yeah, a little.
I mean, that's such a new category for you. I love it. It's your very favorite thing. What did you like in dystopian fiction this year?
Well, out?
Is there one on the list?
Yeah, Chimpanzee by Darren Bradley is on there. And yes. I actually ended up reading it twice this year because I read it first in print and then I listened to the audio. Mm-hmm. And then also The End is Nigh, which is an anthology. And it's like part one of a triptych where they're going to have The End is Here, or I don't even remember what the other two sets are called, but The End is Nigh is pre-apocalypse.
Wow. I'm wondering if I ought to read that then. So, I mean, that's a collection of short stories that you count among the best you've read this whole year.
Well, anything where John Joseph Adams is the editor seems to be just really excellent material. Mm-hmm. And he co-edited it with Hugh Howey. And they self-published it, and it was just really fantastic. Well, so some of the authors, they got to write 3 stories in a row that continue the story. So some of them I'm really looking forward to getting back to.
Wow. Yeah. So have the other 2 volumes been published? Or are they upcoming still?
I think at least the middle one has. I haven't kept up with it as well as I had planned. Mm-hmm. But that's something to definitely keep an eye out in 2015 for. Cool. But you know the other book that... I mean, there's several in this category that I loved and 5-starred it and everything, but I think the book that probably will stick with me the most is Her Smoke Grows Up Forever.
Oh, nice.
Because James that was Tiptree my first Jr. experience. Yeah. Nice. And I did talk about that on one of our very first episodes.
Yeah,
but,
so did I.
fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's just so good. So.
I agree with that. Yeah. She's a special writer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see. Under poetry, I read a lot of poetry this year because I always try to celebrate National Poetry Month. I think actually there was a 100-year anthology of poetry magazine called The Open Door, and I really liked that one. It was a really good spread of stuff. It wasn't always like the standard things.
Cool. So, The Open Door.
The Open Door.
Nice.
And then under nonfiction, I had so much that I grouped it into 3 more categories. one is like business, informational, history. And probably my favorite book there is kind of a toss-up between The Noonday Demon, which I talked about already, and The Most Dangerous Book about James Joyce's Ulysses. Those were both very excellent books that I want on my shelf, you know, in my own library. Mm-hmm. And then... you know, this was a great year of reading nonfiction for me since I took that creative nonfiction class, a genre I don't think I really read before or even cared to read, even if I'd encounter it like in a magazine. My opinion has changed completely, but there's a bunch of books in this category by Annie Dillard. And that was, she's probably my favorite author of the year. That
excellent.
Was new to me.
Well, one of the things you and I have talked about is we're gonna talk about Annie Dillard specifically in an episode next year.
I'm so excited.
I look forward to that very much.
Yeah. So I guess if you were going to put me into a corner, I'd pick Orfeo as book and Annie Dillard as the author.
Nice.
So, of course, she didn't write Orfeo, but I get 2.
So they both win the Golden Pint.
Yes, the Golden Reading Envy Pint. I can see it in my mind.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, it's a great reading year.
Cool. It was a great year for me, too.
Yeah, so tell me. You said you
picked... So what I did is I picked four the tops in four different categories.
Okay.
My favorite piece of fiction was Pavon by Keith Roberts. I talked about that here on this podcast. It still haunts me, that book. And I say haunt, I mean haunt in a good way. But I was really into that book. The world that Keith Roberts created was just connected with me like nothing else this year. Hmm. And that was a book that was on my to-read list forever. I don't even know how it got there, but if anybody recommended that to me, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But I really liked it. And then the next category I called my favorite reread. And that there's a clear winner there, Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Mm-hmm. I did a really careful read of that book this year. And just was stunned by it all over again. I hadn't read it since high school. And then reading it again here as an adult, it was a completely different experience, but it was also wonderful. Mm-hmm. So it's a book I highly recommend to people, whether you're into fantasy or not. It's just, it transcends all that.
Will you tell me, I've seen the movies, but I've never read the books. I mm-hmm. finally read The Hobbit, but does it have as many battles as the movies do? Cause that's the part of the movie. I just like,
No, I would say not, but you know, it's hard to describe a battle. I mean, there are battles and things,
sure.
And you can't really use The Hobbit to, judge the Lord of the Rings or to tell you what to expect. They're really two different things. The Hobbit was written for younger people and the Lord of the Rings was just much deeper and much more adult, but it's not that a kid can't read this book. I mean, kids read it all the time, but there are so many levels of intricacy and really nice themes in Lord of the Rings. Hmm. Well worth reading. And it's a book that I'm going to return to now, I'm sure, for the rest of my life. That's just something that's going to be there.
Wow.
As it is for so many other people, you know. And yeah, I always thought, well, geez, they should read something else. But no, it really is good. Hmm. It really is good. And then I picked my favorite audiobook. And this one was also a pretty clear winner for me. I mean, this one just the moment I thought audiobook, I listened to Agent to the Stars by John Scalzi, and mm-hmm. it was read by Will Wheaton. And you know, I was really busy this year, so this book probably just fit in a certain niche for me. You know, as some books sometimes do, where something hits you at the exact right time. And you listen to it, and it lifts your spirits. And that's what Agent to the Stars was. It was read, like I said, by Will Wheaton. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what your experience with audiobooks are, but sometimes I have trouble listening to them, and I just sort of start to think about other things while I'm listening. Sometimes when I get really busy and distracted, my ability to listen to audio just goes completely away. But then every now and then you hear an audiobook that just cuts right through all that somehow. Mm-hmm. And this book did that. You know, it demanded your attention. That's the only way I can describe it, but I thought it was very good. Very, very entertaining book.
Have you seen the kind of dubbed Christmas Carol with Captain Jean-Luc Picard? And then Will Wheaton has a little cameo in it.
I don't think so.
Oh.
Make it so? Make it so.
Instead of Let It Snow.
Yes, that's it.
It's
I have seen
very
it.
Funny.
That is hilarious. You bet. Make it so. Number one. Cool. And then I have my favorite piece of nonfiction of the year. I read several nonfiction books. But my favorite was one that I talked about on this podcast. And it was The Zimmerman Telegram by Barbara Tuchman. That was that World War I book.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. I guess another category that I have a clear favorite in would be piece of a religious book. Mm-hmm. And the one is Jesus, A Pilgrimage by James Martin. Really loved that book. It was about his traveling to the Holy Land. James Martin is a priest, and he traveled to the Holy Land and wrote a book about Jesus, which is a travelogue and a book about Jesus at the same time. And it's wonderful.
The closest thing I have on my five-star list to a book about religion, mm-hmm. well, I have two. I have the Annie Dillard book. Did you say you had Holy the Firm?
No, the one that I have from Annie Dillard is called For the Time Being.
Okay. So yeah. It's Holy the Firm that starts with the lines, "Every day is a God." And you just, once you read it, you never forget it. And so I have that book. It's not really about religion, but it sounds like religion. Mm-hmm. And then the Jimmy Carter book, A Call to Action, Women, yeah. Religion, mm-hmm. Violence, and Power, is actually on my five-star list. It was an excellent book. I listened to the audio with him reading it. Hmm. I didn't know he was such a human rights activist, honestly. I had no idea.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's what he's been doing. He is an excellent ex-president. he does a lot of stuff. Builds houses and... he does a lot of
humanitarian.
Humanitarian, let's call it that. That's what I wanted. Yep. Humanitarian activity.
That's pretty amazing. Anyway, good for him. I was thinking, did I have any religion books on here? Kind of.
Kind of, you bet.
Kind of. You bet. Dystopia is my religion.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, cool. So what we did beyond this is we kind of mined the internet for other people's lists.
Woohoo.
And yeah, what's funny is, you know, earlier I mentioned, and those were a lot of the fiction books that you mentioned were from this year. And mm-hmm. I don't know that I read a book from this year. I find that just as odd that I couldn't find anything that was published in 2014 that I read.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
But it is true. I need to change that for next year. Read some current things. But, speculative fiction is one of my favorite genres to hang out in. And I found a list on Tor. It was Tor.com's Reviewer's Choice Best Books of 2014.
Hmm.
And so one of the books that's on this list that really intrigued me is called City of Stairs by Robert Jackson Bennett. The description is a densely atmospheric and intrigue-filled fantasy novel of living spies, dead gods, buried histories, and a mysterious, ever-changing city from one of America's most acclaimed young SF writers.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's a person that I haven't heard of, and on Goodreads, it's got a 4.21, so people are enjoying it, it seems.
Yeah, it's good.
Published in September of this year, so maybe I'll start my new year with that book.
Yeah, and I remember seeing that. I've been looking at a few individual best of 2014 lists, and that mm-hmm. book was on Jeff Vandermeer's list.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of
it. Jeff Vandermeer is another author that I'd like to read. There was one floating around. I don't know if it was published this year, but it was called Annihilation.
Yeah.
I think Luke did it on his podcast, and that is something I'd like to read too. And that's the first of a trilogy, I think.
It is, and all three of those books came out this year.
Nice.
I mean, he's been crazy busy with the editing and the touring and making it on almost every end of year list.
Wow.
We'll see him a lot.
I love that. I love that they would publish a trilogy in the same year.
Can't imagine the amount of work it was. But it's funny because I've been saving the third one to take on my vacation with me because I'm going to Florida mm-hmm. to beginning. And it's kind of set in a place that's probably Florida. Kind of. It's hard to mm-hmm. explain. But it's in a place called Area X that you can't just walk into. So
nice.
It's called the Southern Reach Trilogy. And the first book is Annihilation.
Okay.
So I've been really enjoying them so much that I've been kind of holding out for the third one. But
well, good. Well, I'm going to put that on my list too.
Yeah.
You and Luke both enjoyed it.
That's rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
We usually have different opinions about books, so that's interesting.
Nice. Nice. So what, is there something that stands out for you on one of these lists?
Well,
just pick one, anyone.
I started with the NPR Best Books of 2014 because they have this app they use called Concierge.
Ooh.
And it's just a nice way to have the list. Like, you can filter it by book club ideas or biography or history lovers. It's all geek to me. Let's talk about sex. Rather short, rather long. I just like how they have it organized.
Wow.
But there's one book on here that I keep seeing on a bunch of lists, and I actually have it from the library ready to read. I just haven't started it yet, called The Empathy Exams by Leslie Jamison.
I've not heard of that.
I know it's nonfiction. Let's look.
Empathy Exams, huh?
Yeah, and the description says, it's a trove of treats for those who enjoy a genre I'll call travelosophical, traveling to a strange world and trying to make philosophical sense of it. It has essays on imprisoned marathoners, a contagious skin condition, poverty tourism, and a delightful jag on sweetness called In Defense of Saccharin. So, I don't know. Sounds kind of random, but...
All right. So it's a collection of essays. That's neat.
Yeah.
Which fits your bill right now.
That's cool.
Yeah, this app is so neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bone Clocks by David Mitchell. Oh, so you can even pick more than one at once. So if I click on science fiction and fantasy and historical fiction, I get three books.
Oh.
One of them is Valor and Vanity by Mary Robinette Cole. And then there's one called Fatal, which looks like it might be a graphic novel, maybe.
Oh, cool.
No, it says a raven-haired dame with a mysterious power over men flees from a cult in this virtuoso noir tale.
Huh.
Ed Brubaker's fiendishly addictive story unspools in three, and then I have to click through to read more.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, and here's one called Rather Long. So let's see what's under Rather Long. The Bone Clocks. The Bone Clocks is the first one. It's a good one. How about a biography of Santana, Carlos Santana? There's a book called The Book of Strange New Things. Yeah, this is really neat.
I clicked on Seriously Great Writing plus Let's Talk About Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up with one book I've read and one book I mean to read. So there you go.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
How about mysteries and thrillers paired with seriously great writing? James Ellroy, something called Perfidia. The Silkworm by Robert Galbraith. Is that...
J.K. Rowling.
That's J.K. Rowling, right.
Yeah.
And then Tiger Man, a novel by Nick Harkaway. Broken Monsters by Lauren Bukes.
Yeah, that's on my list too.
The Peripheral by William Gibson.
So you could play with this one for a long time. It's a very cool way to do it.
That's really cool. Well, the only one that comes up under mysteries and thrillers, rather long, realistic fiction, and seriously great writing is Perfidia by James Ellroy.
Ah.
1940s Los Angeles. First book in a new series. But that's a neat app. I like it.
I want one that is The Dark Side and It's All Geek to Me. Let's see if there's anything. Oh, yeah, there's three. Wolf in White Van. Okay, good times. Sorry.
What a cool app. Well done, NPR.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm not even really sure how many books are on the list total, but
nice.
Some great ones.
Well, here's a list that I found, which it was made this year, but is not necessarily... just books that were published this year. And here, let me just make sure you have that as well. It is called 100 Books to Read in a Lifetime.
Oh.
And it's on Amazon. It was posted in February this year. And there are things like A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius by Dave Eggers. A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. And I agree with that one. I've read that one. And
yeah, me too.
It's well worth reading.
Mm-hmm.
Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt. Catch 22 by Joseph Heller. So I started poking around in here wondering how many of these I'd read, and About 15 of them is how many I've read.
A Wrinkle in Time, Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
There's some great books on here.
There are. And The Fault in Our Stars is on it.
Hmm.
The Giver, The Hunger Games.
Ah, some books to movies.
Yeah.
I just saw The Giver last week.
Oh, yeah? How did you like it?
I thought it was better than the book.
Good.
Because the book is really, you know, it's written for middle grades. There's not a lot to it, exactly. So they kind of got to expand it a little in the movie. Have you ever read the books after it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so I felt like in the movie they were hinting about things I didn't know about, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like kind of mentioning things.
Oh, that's good. It makes me ridiculously happy that Where the Wild Things Are is on this list of 100 as well.
That's great.
But yeah, maybe it's somewhat a sales list too, probably.
Yeah.
But it's a fun list to look at.
Well, they suck us in with their lists and then we buy things from them. So it works out for everyone.
Yeah, win-win.
Well, one of the other lists that I was really curious about is from Slate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Overlooked Books of 2014. And there's 27 books on here. It's probably the last one on the list that I had made. But there's a lot of books on here I've never heard of. How to Feel Confident with Your Special Talents by Carol Guess and Daniela Oswalska. presented as prose poems. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There were some books on here that I did recognize. Like I read For Today I Am a Boy by Kim Fu, which is wonderful. It's about a transgender child who's a Canadian son of Chinese immigrants. So it was very well written. I actually got a review copy of that one, I think. Southern Reach Trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer. Surprise, surprise. There it is again. Except like we've all heard about it. So there's Lauren Bucus again.
Yeah. Broken Monsters.
She's popping up a lot.
Yeah.
It
says this book is a literary horror set in modern day Detroit that combines supernatural spookiness of Stephen King with the cat and mouse serial killer narrative of Silence of the Lambs.
Wow.
The result is a hallucinatory referendum on this quintessential American city that's constantly on the verge of extinction, even as it's being reborn. Interesting.
It's a great setting for a horror novel.
Mm-hmm.
And her last novel was a time-traveling serial killer in Chicago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That was really good.
Soon to be a city near you, huh? That's kind of cool.
Well, she has a journalism background, so I don't know about in this book, but in the previous one, there is a journalist character, so she kind of still puts it in there a little bit. The other book on this list that I'm really interested about, because not everyone, but quite a few people whose reading tastes I really look to have mentioned that they think I would like this book. It's called Boy, Snow, Bird by Helen Oyeyemi.
Hmm.
It's a 29-year-old author. Wow, it's her fifth novel. Something like A Fractured Fairy Tale, an updated retelling of the Snow White story. Which, I don't know. I don't know what that'll be like.
That's cool. This is funny because you and I had this discussion, some of it this week. On this list is Doctor Who, The Blood Cell by James Goss. And the person who put it on there says, yes, it's a tie-in novel to a TV show, basically the least prestigious form of fiction. So he's like apologizing for putting it on here and then going to tell you why he did.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I'm reading a Star Trek novel and I'm like, I don't know if I should talk about that on Reading Envy because we're way too highbrow.
I'm working on it, everyone.
I love it. But that is funny. It's entertaining. Yeah. It's entertaining as heck.
At least you still kept it on the list.
Yes. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah. That is a neat list.
That is cool. There's so many others.
How about the Goodreads Best of 2014 user voted?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Was there a clear winner there? Lots of categories. Yeah.
Yeah. So you vote and then there are semifinals and then there are finals. And I voted in every round personally.
Wow.
But two books that I voted for that won. Hmm. Oh, three. The picture book I voted for just because it had a funny cover, which I guess is effective. It's a picture book. The nice. Pigeon Needs a Bath is what it's called. And then there's the pigeon going, I do not.
Nice. So it looks like in science fiction, The Martian won.
It did, but yes. Also the debut author is a science fiction novel, Red Rising by Pierce Brown, which talked about on our that Gone Rogue podcast episode.
Oh, so yeah. Okay.
That's a reading envy pick, I guess.
Nice. That's cool.
We can stretch it.
That's right. A reading envy pick.
Have you read any of these?
I haven't. The Martian is on my list. Mm-hmm. But no, I haven't read any of the ones that I'm looking at here.
There's even ones a that I'm Serenity interested graphic
in.
Novel.
Yeah, I see that. I'm interested in the Stephen King novel, which is called Mr. Mercedes, which I've heard very good things about, that it's very good. Wow, Prince Lestat by Anne Rice. So she's back writing those. I didn't even know it.
Yeah. It's like number 19 in the Vampire Chronicles or something like that.
I read Interview with the Vampire long, long ago. But I didn't read any of the other ones. I liked it just fine, but...
Oh, I couldn't get through it.
No, I read it and...
I think it's one of those books that's like, it's scary here. It's spooky here. Do you get it? It's spooky. And so she goes on and on. And I'm like, uh-huh. I guess I'm a little bit impatient.
That's fine.
I have started Yes, Please by Amy Poehler. I'm listening to it in audio.
Oh, I bet that's good on audio.
Well...
Did she read it?
Yes. Well, sure. It's her plus some other people.
Oh, okay.
But the introduction to it kind of turned me off a little bit. She just sounds tired, and I don't think it's really a joke. Mm-hmm. So I hope that the rest of it is a little more entertaining than that. I think it will be.
Wow.
And then I've heard a lot about the winner for nonfiction, The Opposite of Loneliness by Marina Keegan. That author has since passed away. She died very young.
Oh.
So there's a lot of people that have really loved that book. So I'm definitely going to try to read that in the next year.
Cool.
I think that's it. The others, I'm like, I've read The Martian.
Yeah, and you liked it okay, but it wasn't super great, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was decent. And I think I'll see the movie probably when they make it.
There's one that I really like to read that's didn't win in nonfiction, but I clicked through in the nonfiction, and it's on the third row. It's called Being Mortal by Atul Gawande. I love his books. Maybe I'll talk about him in an episode this year, but he wrote Better, A Surgeon's Notes on Performance, and one called The Checklist Manifesto, and one called Complications, A Surgeon's Notes on an Imperfect Science. Hmm. And he was giving some lectures, the Rife lectures on the BBC about healthcare and things. Very interesting guy.
Yeah. Well, there's other books in this category that I'm excited about or have read already. Hmm. I really want to read Bad Feminist by Roxane Gay. I also want to read her novel that came out this last year. She's had a very busy year. And I've already read Men Explain Things to Me. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And the empathy exams we talked about. I tried out the Dataclysm book. It's a very beautiful book, but I was having a hard time just like sitting and reading it straight through. I think it's kind of more of a book you'd kind of like peek in and out of, maybe.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah. And it's nice to be able to get to vote, I guess.
Yeah.
To feel like you're a part of it.
That is fun. I'm not sure I'll do the Hugos this year, but I sure have enjoyed it. I should do it as long as I'm enjoying it. But I don't know. I feel like I've lost connection. I mean, as you can see with it, not having read any from this year, I feel like there's a gap between what I like and what's being published. A lot of it in the science fiction world anyway.
Right.
So I just clicked through to the Audible list.
Good, you got my psychic message. All right. What I clicked on.
I'm a big audiobook fan. Didn't get through too many this year, but I'm looking forward to this coming year. The audiobook of the year, Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, a novel.
Hmm.
What do you think of that? Have you heard anything about that, pro or con?
No, but it must be a fantastic version, because there's a lot of versions of Hamlet out there.
So this is written as a novel, right? Written specifically for audio and produced by Audible Studios, Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, a novel, is the second reimagining of a Shakespeare classic from this author, A.J. Hartley and David Hewson.
Oh, I see. So it's not full cast.
No.
It's just by this one guy.
And Richard Armitage reads it. He's the lead Hobbit in the Hobbit movies.
And it looks like he worked with the Royal Shakespeare Company, so he probably knows Hamlet well.
Yes, indeed.
That's probably cool. Good in audio.
Yeah.
Like that'd better be kinda, in audio. You know how some things are really added to with the audio. Yeah.
Adding that to my wish list.
Bam. I see a book on here that I bought the print. Well, I have the print at home from the library. The Not My Father's Son by Alan Cumming.
Oh, yeah.
But he has such a great voice, I should have thought about listening to it instead.
Oh, wow.
I listened to him do Hamlet or Macbeth or something like that. Such a great voice.
Cool. He is. I like him very much. Mm-hmm. Fantasy. Well, Brandon Sanderson is so popular. He's got tops on listener favorite and tops on fantasy, Words of Radiance.
Wow.
Which is a... I clicked through. I thought it would tell me how long the book is, but it's like, there it is, 48 hours and 15 minutes.
Holy.
Yeah.
With my 3-mile commute, that would take me a year.
Wow. So you have The Way of Kings and Words of Radiance, and together you've got 93 hours.
Wow.
Yep.
Did you see the nonfiction book about the Princess Bride on there?
I did, yeah.
I think I need to listen to that.
Inconceivable.
It's narrated by Carrie, I don't know how you say his name, Elwes,
right.
Christopher Guest, Carol Kane, Norman Lear, Rob Reiner, Wallace Shawn, Robin Wright, Billy Crystal. So it's all the people that were in the movie.
Oh, that would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
It'd be really fun.
Yeah, I'd listen to that book for sure. Why don't you give me a paper cut and pour salt on it? Yeah. I love that. So good.
Very good.
Yeah.
I wanted to look at the 50 best independent fiction and poetry books from 2014 list.
Cool. I'm clicked through.
Yeah. Flavor Wire. I don't know what Flavor Wire is. I guess just one of those kind of consolidating websites.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see if I recognized anything from this at all.
And did you? Ooh. Or do you?
Yeah, The Wall Creeper by Nell Zink. I think this, I can't remember who else's list this was on, but I've heard about this book a lot. It's a debut novel. It says it is raw.
Raw.
And not, doesn't say much else than that.
Does raw mean unedited?
Or, I don't know.
Or does it
know.
Mean that it hurts to read it?
It has an acerbic exuberance. Look at those words.
Of course.
And on the cover,
but it's barely
it's
contained,
like,
it says.
Barely contained. See, those are all words that make me want to pick it up. And the cover's kind of fun because it looks like someone standing naked behind a... Oh, no, they have clothes on. You just see bare feet under a curtain.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of weird.
That is wild.
And then I have this book on hold at the library. If it ever comes back... It's called Those Who Leave and Those Who Stay by Elena Ferrante.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, this is book three. I have the first one on hold because it's a like a trilogy of novels set in Italy. I don't know. I just randomly came across them, I think, in the New Yorker or Harper's one day. And I'd never heard of the author, and it's a new translation, and it just sounded fantastic. So.
Wow.
I don't see poetry yet on here. I'm going to keep scrolling down.
Yep, scrolling as well. I don't know. 1,000 Times Broken.
That sounds really cheery.
Oh, now this is cheery. The Biographical Dictionary of Literary Failure.
Bolaño, who keeps publishing things even though he is dead... It's like, good, how many him. More of those can there? Oh, I see another book I've brought home with me. Mm-hmm. My Struggle by Carl Ove Nalsgaard. people have been raving about those books. I can't wait to try them.
My Struggle, book three?
Yeah, I just brought home book one. Uh-huh. They're pretty hefty.
It demonstrates Nosgard's propensity for formal paradox by virtue of its boring yet crack-like pose. Wild.
Yeah. And I've seen pictures of the words on the page, and it's very dense.
Wow.
And it's translated, I think, from the Danish, if I remember correctly. So, should be interesting.
Cool.
So, there's some good stuff on there. I'll probably go through and add these to my list.
Cool.
Well, are there any other lists you can't live without?
Can't live without these lists. Well, the New York Times notable books.
Should we look at that one?
Yeah, let's look at that one. There's 100 books on here. I wonder if there's anything I'll recognize. I'm going to guess not. But, well, The Bone Clocks.
Yeah, it's
But I know it only through you. Yeah.
I have seen a lot about All the Birds Singing by Evie Wilde.
Mm-hmm.
Wilde's emotionally wrenching novel traces a solitary sheep farmer's attempt to outrun her past on a remote British island. Another island.
Nice.
But I've just heard, like, from the most different readers that it's just an amazing book. People who usually read mostly science fiction have said that.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd gotten to it, but I still can.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, here's one that I would like to read because I read Gilead. This one's Lila by Mary Lynn Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sequel, right? To Gilead.
It is. There's a book in the middle, too, but I don't. I didn't read it, and I don't think it mattered to me before I read Lila.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Home, and it's like about the other minister in town, if I remember correctly. Okay. But Lila is about the first guy's wife and where she comes from. It's very interesting.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I want to read it.
Did you ever read her earlier novel, Housekeeping?
No, I didn't. Okay. Nope. Gilead's the only one I read.
Yeah. Her writing is beautiful.
Nice. Atul Gawande's book is on this list, too, under nonfiction, Being Mortal, Medicine, and What Matters in the End.
Hmm. I've never heard of that person before today, so...
He's really good. Yeah, he writes for The New Yorker. He's a doctor.
Mm.
Duty, Memoirs of a Secretary at War by Robert Gates. I actually would like to read that.
Huh.
Yeah. Yep, he served under Bush and Obama.
Wow.
He was a Republican that President Obama kept on for a while. Fascinating.
Here's one. This person I keep hearing about in the last month and before then, never heard of her. Penelope Fitzgerald, A Life. It's about this late blooming writer. She published her first book, a biography, at age 58 and didn't become famous until she was 80. There is hope for all of us.
Yes.
And I want to read about her.
That's great.
And I want to read her work, too.
Oh, cool.
That's itself is not on the list, but
mm-hmm.
some nice. Great stuff on here.
Yeah, that would be good. That sounds good. Well, cool. Well, I don't know. Are there any others you'd like to look at?
No, but we can post links to more of the lists if you'd like, including the Penguin Random House list of lists.
Right.
It's fun to look at.
Yeah. And definitely visit that NPR list.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then our next episode will be the Reading Envy list based on everyone else's contributions. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I can't
wait
to hear
it. Added to the list.
Cannot wait to hear it.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, thank you for doing this podcast this year.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. On
to
year 2.
It's been one of the best things I've done. Yeah.
That's great. Me too. but yeah, on to the next year.
Yeah.
Will be fun.
for listening to the Reading Envy podcast. You can find us at readingenvy.com.